Welcome to Gold Star Classroom, the podcast where our panelists go back to school. We'll grade them on their answers to a variety of general knowledge and trivia questions. They don't know what we're going to ask, and we don't know what they're going to say. The student with the highest grade at the end of the class will win the coveted classroom prize, the Golden Banana. I'm your host and headmaster, Professor Jerry Jaffe. Well, welcome to today's Gold Star Classroom being recorded at the Sodbuster Bar in Sylvania, Ohio. Let me introduce today's students. On my immediate left, a regular stand-up guy and comedian, Ed Barco.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, Ed. And on my far left, taking back the country one stage at a time, Jim J. Blackcloud. That's all you have to say for yourself, Jim? Make sure you say into the microphone so we don't miss it.
Sounds like a Tonto audition.
On my right is the man known as the fat guy, Eric Urban.
I'm not Eric Urban, I'm Chili Chalice.
Don't confuse the listeners, Eric. Minus 10 points.
Yep.
Oh.
And on my far right is comedy legend, writer, and teacher, Chili Chalice.
Hello, Professor.
Welcome to class.
Thank you. Very, very nice to be here.
I want you all to know that, like Charles Dickens, I have great expectations for you.
Ooh. You should have read that.
And Eric, you're a real pip. Right.
You'll learn.
Yeah, he's going to have to go look that up.
Yes. That's some literary humor for those readers in the audience.
What are books?
Well, if you have trouble with books, you're going to be at a disadvantage in today's class. I'm going to ask you some general knowledge questions from all across the sphere of human knowledge and fountains of learning. And like any teacher would, I'm going to be grading your answers as we go.
So in other words, you want a lot of dead air.
That's exactly why I invited you, Ed.
Okay.
You're responsible for the dead air.
Alrighty.
Your first quiz question comes from the world of science, and I ask you, what, if anything, is the moon? Ed, what is the moon?
It is a large object in space that's basically rotates around the Earth.
It is a large object in space. It is associated with the Earth. Anyone wish to agree or disagree with anything Ed has said so far?
I know it's not cheese.
Current scientific theory rejects cheese as one of the standard components of the moon. That is correct.
Could you repeat the question? What is the moon?
Yes. What is the moon?
Is the moon?
What do you know about the moon?
We can get there.
We can get there. We have been there several times. American and Russian astronauts have visited the moon.
Sometimes it's full.
It passes through phases. Occasionally it's full.
It's barren.
Much like Eric, full and barren. Ed, an interesting fact that not many people know. You say the moon goes around the Earth, which it does, but the moon is also heavily in the pull of the sun's gravity. And so actually it goes around the sun as we go around the sun.
Right.
So it actually is in orbit around the sun, which is the only moon-like satellite in our solar system that does that. All the other ones, like Jupiter and Saturn and so on, their satellites do rotate around them like by gravity.
Will this be on the final exam?
This is the final exam, Chili. You're already losing points as you're sitting there.
Yeah, that's the story of my life.
Yes. We give Ed a D and we give Eric a double D.
Okay.
Jim, what do you know about the moon?
It's the night light given to us by the great creator.
It does provide light at night, although it does not shine on its own light. It reflects the light of the sun.
It affects werewolves.
Werewolves? Eric, you got to be faster than that.
You didn't get to me yet.
Were you going
to
say that, Eric? I'm sorry.
Now Eric's copying off of Chili's paper.
I always...
The idea that the moon or the full moon affects people is an ancient idea that can be found as far back as the Assyrians and Babylonians. And psychologists call it the lunar effect. However, most scientists reject the lunar effect as
a
real thing.
As a scientist, I don't. I mean, we're 80% water, so, I mean, it affects water. It affects us.
That is, in fact...
Take it from Chile. Forget these other scientists.
The believers of the lunar effect often do cite the water tidal effects as why it would affect us.
I got to go with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
So you're Ed. You're also a pro lunar effect guy.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I go. Yeah.
Eric, how old is the moon?
I wasn't gonna answer with an age. I was actually gonna quote the Quiznos commercials. We love the moon, and it is good to us.
Quiznos is in no way a sponsor of this show. Nor has it endorsed Eric's answer as correct or incorrect.
Well, I'm hungry for Quiznos. So.
How old is the moon? If anyone can guess or know.
It's just probably a little younger than the Earth.
It is. You could have gone with your first answer.
Really?
No, it is a little younger.
It's
in solar terms,
younger.
They're both about 4.5 billion years old.
Right.
With the moon forming a few million years after
Professor.
The beginning.
It broke off from
Jim.
Us. Oh, sorry.
Yes, yes. Did you know the moon's birthday is the same as my birthday?
The moon's birthday is the same as your birthday?
Yes.
When is your birthday?
The same as the moon's birthday.
I should have seen that coming. I walked right into that.
Boing.
You did raise the issue, Chili, of if the moon was made from Earth rock.
Right.
So people who study such things, astrophysicists, astrogeologists, astronomers, are not 100% sure where the moon comes from.
Hmm.
One theory is that it is part of the Earth.
I'll go with that.
Jim?
It comes from behind the clouds.
One has never seen clouds behind the moon, which is a common mistake in amateur artists. Amateur artists have been known to paint the moon as if it's in front of the clouds.
But we've never really seen the dark side of the moon, so there could be clouds over there.
There's
we don't know
such thing as dark side of the moon. It's all dark.
Well,
why did Eric wake up during my question?
Yes. He never wakes up during anyone else's answers but yours, Chili. I've observed that. He must be in your gravitational tidal forces. It is true that the orbit of the moon is synchronous with the Earth, so the same side always faces the Earth.
Bam, Eric.
And that opposite side is sometimes called the dark side of the moon.
Busted by the professor, right in your face.
The moon was what? In what circus?
It's like, yes, it's a very special circus, a sin circus with crows. I don't know. I'm lost now, too.
Where the hell did you get circus from?
Because I said synchronous.
Oh, okay.
And he was being funny. In fact, plus 5 points for the pun, Jim. Good job.
A pun gets 5 points.
Suck up.
Eric, I had to put a new page on the bottom of my grade book in order to calculate how low your grade is currently.
I'm sorry, because I have no idea where
So you're also
I
wasting
really
paper. Also, the moon being called dark is also apt because its reflectivity as a rock is about the same as coal. So it's actually quite a dim material that's not very reflective, actually.
Right.
So the whole moon is somewhat dark.
Sort of like Eric's head.
Well, I haven't done a full-scale astronomical exam of Eric's head. But his eyes do pop out when you stare at him.
That's just the paranoia that creeping in. That's...
I wanted to make sure I mentioned this because it's interesting moon trivia. The most prevalent theory about how the moon was created was that a third solar body collided with the Earth-Moon material while it was still forming in the early days of the solar system. And then that collision drove the moon to be a separate thing from the Earth. And, of course, this is a hypothesis. Some agree, some disagree. But they do have a name for this hypothetical third object, and that name is Theia. T-H-E-I-A is the hypothetical third body that may have created the moon by crashing into the Earth billions of years ago.
T-H-E-I-A.
Like the I-A.
T-H.
Yes.
I see.
They have not found any THIC on the moon yet. But we haven't searched the dark side of the moon yet, so there is hope for Pink Floyd fans. Yes. Yeah.
Imagine if that was your family name, that'd be hard to get car insurance to. You ruined the Earth.
Yes.
How much does that cost? What's our deductible?
Jim, what do you have for us?
Do they play basketball on the moon?
If they did play basketball on the moon, they would have to put the hoop significantly higher. Because there's a much less gravitational pull on the moon.
One-fifth? One-fifth of Earth's gravity? Any points for that? Professor.
You get one-fifth of a point.
You're my favorite professor.
What if I mooned the moon?
I'm everybody's favorite professor.
What would be new about that? It'd be redundant.
Yes.
They've played golf on the moon.
Golf has been played on the moon.
Well, they hit a few balls.
Yeah, because they
hit a few balls. They call it golf.
They hit those big holes.
They lost their ball in the rough, I believe.
I believe so.
Yes.
Never hit water.
Yeah, there's no water hazards. Any other chances to score points about any knowledge about the moon? It's it has a crust, mantle, and core just like the Earth does.
It's probably saved us a few times because it's been hit by things that probably would have hit the Earth.
The Earth is regularly like bombarded by space dust. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of pounds of mass are added to the Earth every day in the form of dust and occasionally larger objects. And the moon's crater face is covered with craters from such collisions. Because it has less of an atmosphere, there's less erosion.
You know who don't have here? Ryan Mooney. He would know a lot about the moon.
Is
it a rhombus?
Or perhaps some Moonies.
But didn't the Moonies move up here? They became Harvest Moonies? Hello.
Any other moon-related puns you'd like to get in before I calculate?
Hey, you gave him 5 points for one, Professor. I'm just saying. I was taking a shot.
Well, the boing noise cost you points.
You can't win.
You have to let my engineer,
so
Steve,
of my education,
put in the sound effects.
I got thrown out of speech class once for talking. That's my education.
Imagine that.
Right,
yeah.
Do your engineers sing Blue Moon while they're working on this stuff?
5 points, Jim J.
5 points for making a werewolf reference.
Cats and Cradles and something the moon. I just threw inertia around there.
Maybe they drank Blue Moon beer.
Well, to summarize our grades so far, everyone is still failing, except Jim, who has such a nice smile, reminds me of the letter C. So you have a C.
Yeah.
I'd like to turn our attention to pop culture and cinema. And I have a question for you. If you follow your cinema lore, gossip, history, you'll know that throughout the history of cinema, there have been parts that almost went to other actors, and then later the actor who actually got the part got the part. So I have a list of 5 or 6 very famous characters who are now iconic, but who the actors who played them were not who were originally supposed to play them. Bonus points if you can name the actor who was originally supposed to play them. All right, let's start, for example, with the movie Men in Black. Both J and K, Jones and Will Smith, were not the original actors intended for either of those roles. Do you know what actors were supposed to be J and K?
Chris Rock.
Not Chris Rock.
Oh, that would be kind of weird. Aliens and loud, screaming and stuff. I don't know.
Will Smith is a loud actor.
What is this movie Men in Black you speak of?
Never heard of it.
It's something to do with aliens. Do they all come from
Jim? Geronimo. I think they yelled Geronimo at one point during the movie, so that's a nice catch. The part of the old crusty agent, which is Kay, was originally offered to Clint Eastwood.
Makes sense. Yeah, makes sense.
Who turned it down, and his reasons for turning it down have never been fully explained anywhere.
Hey, alien, did I shoot 5 shots or 6?
Feeling lucky, punk? Do ya? Oh, wait, sound effects, sorry.
So in the last decades of Clint's career, he has only directed himself. So he has basically avoided movies where he has to be directed by someone else. The part of Jay, the young sidekick character, was originally offered to, get ready, David Schwimmer from Friends. Ross from Friends.
Wow.
And he turned it down so that he could be in the movie Pallbearers instead.
Wow. Mistake. Wow.
I think he was quoted at the time of saying, doing Men in Black would just be a money grab. I want to do something that challenges me.
Yeah. Well, you can probably say that after getting paid $1 million
Friends
a week.
Wasn't a challenge enough.
For several years, yes.
It's about the art.
Yes, yeah. It's about the art. In The Matrix, who played Morpheus? The Matrix is a science fiction action movie.
I know the movie, but I'll be honest with you, I never saw it.
Was it like Samuel L. Jackson?
Wasn't there three parts?
There are three.
And I know Keanu Reeves was the
hero.
Okay, but anybody else? I couldn't tell you anyone
or
else.
Or Mr.
In the movie.
Anderson.
It was Samuel L. Jackson.
It was not Samuel L. Jackson, although it is a famous African American actor.
That would be cool.
Pretty sure it wasn't Clint Eastwood.
It was not Clint Eastwood.
Chris Rock.
It was Cochise.
I don't believe it was Cochise. And the actual person playing the role was Lawrence Fishburne.
Okay. That was my second name.
See, you should have gone with your second name.
Of my tongue.
How does a fish burn?
But he was not the original choice. Another actor was offered that role originally.
Morgan?
Not Morgan. Not Morgan. I'll give you a bad hint. You're close. It was a him, and he did have a name. It was not an African American actor. The part was not originally conceived of having to be that way. Sean
Michael
Connery.
Jackson.
Sean Connery was supposed to be Morpheus.
Should have known.
Sean Connery not only passed on Morpheus, he did pass on another now famous iconic role, Gandalf the Grey. He supposedly passed on both of those movies because he did not understand the stories. So he didn't feel like he could do it.
What's so hard to understand about Lord of the Rings?
It's an epic tale with millions of characters.
Did you understand it, Eric?
I totally understood it.
Then nothing, I guess.
And I was under the influence of things I cannot mention. So, I mean, how...
So you just did.
Sean Connery.
I think for the elegant setting of a simple but beautiful trap, you definitely get a bonus 1,000 points.
Yes! Yes!
Set?
Take that, Native American.
Darn tail face.
And that roadrunner-like, coyote-like sound you hear descending into a canyon is Eric's grade. There was another actor who was offered Gandalf the Grey and passed on it before they got to Ian McKellen. That was Patrick Stewart.
Oh, he'd have been good.
He supposedly passed on it simply because he thought the script wasn't very good. Alright. I do have one more that I definitely wanted to ask you, and this is under the category of saving the best for last, although you may know this is the one most likely for someone to know, in my opinion. Many, many actors before Harrison Ford were either auditioned for or offered the role of Han Solo. Some people in Sodbusters seem to feel like they know the answer to this. And I will say, there is one actor who most famously turned down this role.
Tom Selleck?
Not Tom Selleck. Although he may have been on the list of people who were considered. Because there's like 10 or 15 celebrities were offered the role, or considered for the role of Han Solo. Well, Chili.
No, I'm not going to.
You're not going to? Jim, what do you think?
Sitting Bull.
I do not recall Sitting Bull being on the list. Although you are sitting there, and you do seem to be full of bull at this moment, so you could be channeling some ancestors.
Maybe they offered it to him.
Jim J. Black Cloud.
No, that would have been Red Cloud.
Pretty sure it wasn't Clint Eastwood, right?
It was not Clint Eastwood. Eric?
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber was not even born or conceived. The original Star Wars movie came out in 1976-77.
Make sure that stays on the list, too, if they ever do a remake.
The list of people who were considered include James Caan, Kurt Russell, Nick Nolte, Sylvester Stallone, Christopher Walken, but cited as the most famous person to be offered the role and turn it down is Al Pacino.
Really? Yeah. Now, he's made so many mistakes in his career, you know. He's probably practicing that Scarface voice.
There is, if Al Pacino seemed reluctant, another person who didn't feel so good about Star Wars was George Lucas. When it was in the can but waiting to be released, he had very bad feelings. He thought it would be a flop. Remember, when Star Wars came out, there were no summer blockbusters. So a science fiction film that went over budget and was full of obscure mysticism, he didn't feel it would be like a popular hit movie. But his friend Steven Spielberg predicted it would be a hit movie, and they made a famous bet. Anyone ever hear of this bet or know what it is? Jim?
$1?
It's a little bit more than $1. Steven Spielberg was working on Close Encounters of the Third Kind at the time, and they bet each other that each other's movie would be bigger than the other person's movie, and traded each other 2.5 points of their profits to see who would get more money off of the So Steven Spielberg got 2.5 points off all of George Lucas's profits.
Remember when you, how disappointed you were when you bought one of those lightsabers and you really couldn't cut your little brother in half?
Yeah.
How disappointed.
You're trying to recreate.
It's just a light.
Yes. We don't serve your kind in here, little brother.
Yes. It takes a lot of work. A lot of bruises.
Yes.
Yeah, you ended up just whacking him.
Yes.
You ended up just taking
him. You know, good enough.
Yeah,
sometimes.
So good enough for little brother.
I always just took the batteries out and threw them at people. Like, you want an offensive weapon, here you go.
That didn't really result in anyone getting any extra points. No one knows any movie trivia. No.
That's actually in the
row. That was a carefully chosen topic.
Yeah.
And quickly went nowhere. Yeah.
Professor.
So, yes, Jim.
I know some.
Tell me something.
Tonto.
Tonto? Who did Tonto play?
What?
The buddy of the guy in the white hat.
The guy in the white hat?
That would be Lone
Ranger.
With
the black face.
The Lone Ranger.
Played by Jay Silverheels, the first Tonto on television.
Ooh, brilliant answer.
Thank you.
But who was passed over to get the part?
Of Tonto? Johnny Weissmuller? Buster Crabb? I don't know.
Let's see if you guys have any
porno name,
anything
it?
More to say. And if you do any better, Eric, you got to do something
he
over
looks
there.
At me.
You got to do something.
What do I got?
Ed, I want you to really work on your grade. Let's turn to psychology and philosophy.
Oh God!
No. I'm going to start by telling you an obscure word. You may or may not know it, but even if you don't, we'll figure out what it means together, and you'll tell me what you think. Have you ever heard the word phaneron? Spelled with a PH because it comes from the old Greek.
No.
Anyone? Phaneron. Phaneron.
Phaneron.
No, can't say that I have.
What is it, a hormone?
It's not a hormone. Well, that's a reasonable guess based on the word structure.
Yeah.
So that's a good guess. True. No, this has to do with the sense that how our senses recreate reality in our brain, that there's always a psychological gap between the world as you experience it and the so-called real world.
I
you can make air quotes now if it wasn't a podcast.
No, that would be pretty much Eric, right?
I'm so totally feeling that right now. The separation of everything.
There's a gap. You
can
there's a huge gap.
I think Eric Urban, Jim, you can correct this. Eric Urban might be the Native American word for phaneron. He's the walking, living example
what?
Of phaneron.
What's going on?
This goes in with the idea that, you know, everything you experience is kind of secondhand through your senses.
Makes sense.
Yes.
No? Ed, no, agree?
I thought
it just meant like someone left the phaneron and it's really cold.
And like when you're watching like Honey Boo Boo, everything just goes off.
Yes.
There is no connection ever.
Yes, total disconnect. It's slightly like out of focus.
The lights are on, but nobody's home.
Well, the idea that art and culture, like reality television, makes it harder to get to reality is one of the themes of Allegory of the Cave, that most humans basically live their life as if they're trapped in a cave, a slave trapped in a cave.
Socrates, imagine what he would have done with Honey Boo Boo. Can you imagine? He's talking reality TV. They don't even have television.
That's right. He would have never let her out of the cave, I'm sure.
You're talking about her mom, right? The cave?
Jim.
In response to that, why is it that nobody ever notices when an Indian has sunburn?
Why is it nobody ever notices why an Indian has sunburn, Jim?
I don't know. That's why I asked.
Well, we'll note that down for a future lesson plan. Although I feel I can probably only ask a class that question that you're in.
Is there going to be food served?
Yes, everyone who gets a passing grade at the end of this test will get food.
Oh, boy.
I'm starving.
Eric, I hope you're on a diet.
We called the reservation, Jim. You're going back.
Some scientists like to disregard the idea of the phaneron if it's used to suggest that we can't know about reality. Like, we're still animals that live in reality, so is it possible to know things about reality? Or is it always, like, footnoted as maybe not?
Well, everything's going to be filtered.
And
any filter, there's going to be gaps and, you know, and, things forgotten instantly. And, you know, so we see it as best we can, I would think. We take it in as best we can.
Ed, agree, disagree? Want to add anything?
Yeah, what he said is good.
What he said is pretty good.
No, yeah, I think
that's a pretty big coattail you got there, Chili.
Yeah, I think what you see.
I'm used to it.
And I think everybody has their own sense of reality, perception kind of thing, you know. And everybody's a little different. Right. You know, you see, you know, just the same thing. We can all see something, but then ask that same person to describe what they saw, and you're going to get five different descriptions a lot of times. And that's, I think, where it stems from, you know.
Sure. Well, the scientist / philosopher Noam Chomsky also uses the word filter a lot, Chili.
Oh, really? Good. I knew that.
So you were
have a real connection.
Channeling some Noam Chomsky there. Jim? Was that absolutely necessary?
Indians never really do that, you know.
Right.
Unless they eat something really hot.
Right. I feel the sudden urge to emphasize for our listening audience that Jim J. Blackcloud is a Native American.
Yes, he is.
And that's why we're allowing him to do all of these jokes.
And comedian.
Comedian.
Can you have the sound guy put in, like, in great surround sound crickets so everyone thinks that there's crickets there in the room with them while they're listening to this? Because that's what's going on in my head right now.
I have a feeling in a few moments' time, when I calculate the final grades for this class, I'm going to be able to do it on my fingers.
I think if I was actually paying for it, make it easy for us.
That's the only thing we'll understand.
Yeah.
If I was paying for a class, I'd be asking for my refund right now.
So instead, it's going to be me asking for a refund. I have one more test question for you. This is your second to last chance before the extra credit phase. This is a very interesting, even funny-sounding novel word, but it is a legitimate word used in the field of science. Can you tell me what this word means, or can we figure it out together? Spaghettification. Spaghettification.
And this is a word in science.
In science. It is used to describe actual
science. Is it used loosely, you know,
no, in fact, it's used particularly. There's a very specific thing it's used to describe.
Spaghetti would be part of the word?
It is based on the word spaghetti.
How do you pronounce it again?
Spaghettification.
What it is when you grow spaghetti squash, okay, and you have that little stem that's still attached to the squash from the root, that's what it is.
Uh-huh. Would anybody like to agree or disagree with Ed's guess?
I'm just going to disagree.
You have to take that answer.
I got a feeling I have a good chance.
That answer or the field. We're going the field right now. Jim, what do you think spaghettification might mean?
Well, I think it's an electrical term that electricians use when they open up a box.
And they see a bunch of wires that might look noodle-like. No. What do you got,
That's
Eric?
Like my legs after like midnight and... Oh, wait, keep it PG. Never mind, you don't want to hear
the THIC again. All right. I'll give you a hint. If it's a hint or not, I don't know. It is used in the world of astronomy and astrophysics.
I was going to say that.
Oh, if only you had said
that.
It.
I knew he was.
Okay, for example, it is a variation of the word is used in Stephen Hawking's Brief History of Time book. So I don't know if that constitutes a clue.
About Stephen Hawking and his brief history of time.
I think that was an error with those little machines.
Yes.
Spaghettification. It just sounds like something I sent back at Olive Garden.
Yes.
This spaghettification sauce just isn't quite right. I'm family, right?
That's why it's an endless spaghetti.
Does it come with garlic breadification?
Oh,
I actually
Jim, I'm
going
to have to take your 5 pun points away and now give them to Eric.
Yes!
Making your score minus 1,005.
Yes! Yeah, for low standards.
It is used to describe, this is the last clue I can think of until we just actually have to say what it means, what might happen to a body as it falls into a black hole.
Oh, it spreads out, it thins, it lengthens, it gets all splitty and I don't know what.
Oh, Chili's definitely going in the right direction. Finally,
I was thinking something more like when you lose that energy and that fervor when you're with your girlfriend. You know, and you're just... Bleh.
So that's the kind of supplements you use after midnight. Now the mystery becomes clear.
Oh, my gosh.
Use an extra pillow to help with the stiff neck.
Turn my neck and
when
spaghetti.
A body falls into a black hole, the Jim, what would you like to add?
That's Jim Hoffa.
Jimmy Hoffa was the first human to experience
spaghettification. Yeah. Hey, get this guy spaghettificating.
That could have been sausageification in that case.
Sausage.
The gravitational forces are so great that different parts of your body get pulled differently. And so you end up getting stretched out.
It's like that Fantastic
Four
guy,
why the hell
guy,
did
right?
he say stretched out?
Well, he did.
I like
spaghettification. We all know it.
You got me there at parts of body being stretched out.
That got your attention? I thought it might.
Like the Indian used to do to the white man when we staked them to the ground.
So the concept is older than modern astronomy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any way we could get someone to do that to Eric? Is that a service you can still pay for?
I'd be glad to help.
Well, I'll need to calculate the final grades. To do that, I'll have to get all of my 10 fingers out. And as I'm adding up all these pluses and minuses, I'd like to give everyone one final chance for extra credit. This is your last chance to improve your grade, to see if someone in the room can earn the coveted classroom prize, the golden banana.
Well, I'm out.
Eric, what'd you like to say on your own behalf? Say something intelligent for once.
Let me get on my set list.
For you, using the cheat sheet, minus 1,000 points.
He's done.
Ed, any extra credit comments? Surprise us. Say something only you know.
Oh, I can't say anything. Only I know.
I wish I could describe to you the look on Ed's face right now.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one.
That's a Dickens of a quote.
Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. I'll take Dickens.
You get double the points. Jim, any last bits of wisdom you'd like to share?
Just another Indian in a white man's school.
Well, after this recording, we can all go out together. There's a restaurant where I have a nice reservation. And chili.
Well, as you know, I skipped a meeting with my probation officer to be here, and I'm missing my Phoenix Online wrap-up exam, so hopefully the golden banana goes on my resume, and I finally, after 40 years, I can do something in show business. Because that's right up there with the Emmys and Golden Globes.
Maybe we'll get you a golden banana.
That'll
come
go
on.
Right in your biographical statement.
Maybe you'll get on the Tonight Show with Leno.
Yeah, maybe so.
Well, with a score of 3 and the possibility of being boycotted by Native Americans all over, the golden banana goes to Jim J. Blackcloud.
How did he do that?
Scrambled. That just remains for me, the professor, Dr. Jerry Jaffe, to thank you, the students, for coming to today's class.
Thank you, Professor.
Thank you, Professor.
Thank you.
Gold Star Classroom is written and produced by Jerry Jaffe. Our producer and engineer is Stephen Gutierrez. Original music composed and produced by Jeff Gettert. Mr. Gettert is also our assistant producer. All commentary and opinions expressed by guests of Gold Star Classroom are meant for entertainment purposes only. For Gold Star Classroom, I'm Jerry Jaffe.